It used to be a garage. I'd call that a garage, but it used to be a garage. And then these houses have like a sitting room or a living room on one side, entrance, and like, I mean, living in a house and say it's all the houses are identical. It's got a living room one side, a stairway, and a like a door in between, and then what used to be a one car garage on the other side, but all the houses like converted them to a second living room. So that's where I am. But it's like, what would you call it? Converted into a gym, and then I have a desk in the corner. But I need to build an actual garage because I've no space and my kids have no space and they need space because they have toys and shit. Speaking of kids, what age are you, Jack?
I am 21, almost 22.
So can you do everything then? Can you like rent a car, drink, vote?
I think so. I know I pay some extra underage fees for renting cars, but I can do it. Yeah.
I think that's up until like 25 or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereabouts do you live?
I live like an hour outside of Toronto.
Okay.
And the reference point for most people. Yeah, Kitchener, Waterloo.
Yeah. I wasn't going to know either of those places. Yeah. Which side of Canada is that, the east coast or the west coast or the middle?
It's pretty central, like more east than west for sure, but
okay. So we met each other at FitFest, and then again at Wadapalooza. You've had some year, like the last 8 months. The last like 12 months, really, because I was thinking you were at Rogue a year ago, say, or a year and 2 months ago, whatever, 2022.
October 2010.
And I remember seeing the list of like qualifiers, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? I was like, is this? And then you came out, and I was like, I can't tell if he's a child or a man because he has the body of a man, but the face of a child. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm sure there's a lot of other people in that same scenario. So I'm curious about that year at Rogue. That was your first big, like, splash on the big stage, say, especially because it was like a smaller field. You'd been to semifinals, but I guess it's easy to get lost in a big pile of athletes at semifinals. But at Rogue, there's like a reduced field. And I was curious, like what's your scenario going into that? Are you like, oh, this is cool, I've qualified for Rogue, let's go? Or are you like, right, I've qualified for Rogue, this is going to be humbling? Like, how do you approach a competition like that against a field like that?
Yeah, like I think I knew I was going to get lit up pretty bad. Yeah, because I was just happy to be there, really. Like, I feel like amongst the qualifiers, I was like with, like, I think I came third of five. Like, it wasn't like I was the guy that just scraped in or something. But obviously the top 15 at the games, especially at that point relative to me, was like they're just straight up better than me. I don't know. I think that was just a good one just to like, good for me actually to go and like, you know, I had a couple workouts that I could like kind of hold my own, but for the most part and overall, just kind of seeing like the pace that people are going at, and I obviously I didn't do that well, but I think that was a good introduction to like the big leagues for me, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say I didn't do well, but like when you consider who you're up against and how little experience you had at that level of competition, you know, it's not unreasonable. It would be unreasonable to say you didn't do well. I think you did maybe better than you're letting on. When you're there though, and competing and stuff, is it like, even if you go into it with that mindset of, all right, let's like get up to speed and see what's happening and blah, 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 and then you come off a workout where you finish like whatever, 20th or whatever, are you still able to just walk away from that and be like, right, that's fine? Or do you like, do you still get pissed off? Are you still like annoyed? Are you still like, do you judge yourself relative to the field, or is it just you and your coach saying, hey, you did this well, you did this well, you need to do this better next time?
Yeah, I wasn't angry. It's maybe a bit embarrassing, to be honest, though. I know the first, like our first workout was offsite, the ranch run or whatever. And like just right from the beginning, everyone was gone, like took off. So I was kind of like, and I still went very hard, as fast as I could have gone. But that kind of set the tone almost for the weekend, that like that was a very possible outcome in any event. I think I came last. Oh, I didn't come last in that one because Lazar got hurt. So like halfway through, I just passed a stumbling, stumbling Djukic. But
listen, man, you take the wins where they come.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I only came last in one other event. But yeah, I don't know. Honestly, in the one that I did come last in, I was just happy that I tried to keep up with people like for 3 of the 5 rounds. It was the Echo DT one. I was right there with them, and then I fell off. So I was like proud of myself for at least trying to go for it. But no, I wouldn't say angry or disappointed. Like it was all I had at that time. So, but it's never fun to come last.
Yeah. You started doing CrossFit like 2015. Is that right?
Yeah, probably around then. Yeah, it hasn't been like straight since then, but like I probably had my introduction around then.
And what age were you then, like 6?
no, not that young. I want to say I started at like around 12.
Okay, quite young.
Yeah.
And is that like, was that your parents, or did the gym open locally, was that your parents, or something to do with sport? How did you get into it?
No, like my parents got me into all my sports, but CrossFit specifically was some of my older siblings. They were doing it, and they kind of told my parents about it, and I think probably one of them even found the teenage group or classes, whatever, going on at a gym nearby. So that's kind of how I started, and that was probably just like twice a week. I would go at like after school, my dad would pick me up. But yeah, that was kind of that. And then in the summers, I would go to a different CrossFit gym because the original one didn't have a teens class in the summer or something. And there I joined like a group of like hockey dudes that were probably like 18 at the time. And I was like 12, 13. And so I kept up with them pretty good. So yeah, that was kind of what it was like as a kid.
How many siblings have you got?
I got 8 siblings and I'm the youngest.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I have some that are like quite a bit older. So while I was like still like, yeah, 12, 13, they were actually like some of them, like one sister of mine was in like NorCal, like far away from home, Jason Kalitha's gym. And then, yeah, so they're the ones that kind of spread the word.
Your parents have 9 kids.
That's right. Yeah.
Man, that is crazy. I'm stressing about having a third kid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Jeez, 9 kids. That is nuts. What did you live in? Was it like 5 kids to a room, or did you have like a big house?
I always had a big house, but not my oldest.
Oh, because some of them are gone or whatever. Like.
Yeah. But when my oldest brother was growing up, it wasn't that big of a house, and then my parents slowly just kind of worked their way up. But yeah, and then also I never lived with everyone, like,
yeah,
with the age spread. So yeah.
What do your parents do?
Well, my mom is an engineer, but she has not worked since I was born, at least. She's always just been home with us, and my dad's an accountant.
Okay. And are you doing engineering as well?
Yeah. So my mom's kind of, I don't know, the inspiration for that, I guess. I've, I think, 3 sisters and a brother that have also all done engineering at the same school that I'm at. So.
And what kind of engineering is it?
Me specifically is biomedical, which no one else has done yet in my family.
Is that like what is that?
what
kind of job would you get out of it? Like, if you followed your career path, would you be working in a hospital or in like a factory or what?
Not a factory, but not necessarily a hospital. I think like the classic job is like, would be like, you're part of the design process for anything in terms of like a prosthetic. So like,
okay,
a fake arm or leg, or even like heart valves, things like that. Like, and I don't know any of that yet, but that would be the career path. Yeah.
And what are you about halfway through that?
Yeah. I'm just over half now.
What's the dynamic there of balancing I guess there's certain time of years where it's easy. There's certain time of years, like summer, piece of piss, like no college, it's fine. And then like you come into January, February, and you've got like probably term exams or something, but you've also got the open and stuff like that. Like, how do you balance that kind of stuff?
I'm in a co-op program. So every 4 months I switch from school to like working. And basically this far, I've just kind of found jobs that are like on the easier side, basically, like that I can do remotely and kind of work out my own schedule. And so those have been good for training. Obviously flexibility goes away when I go back to school. So I just went back to, like, I'm back in school now as of the start of January. And, so that's kind of when the schedule gets super crazy. Just like waking up early, going to the gym. I have a good schedule, so I can basically work out from like 6 to 11, and then I'm in school from like 11 to 5-ish, and then I can go back to the gym for a little bit after that.
And is what's the mood like towards you competing and stuff, and then working in college? Like, are your parents, is it like, we don't care once your college doesn't suffer, we don't care what you do? Or are they like more academically leaning, or are they more like, hey man, you're only young once, go for it?
My mom especially is very, very academically leaning, as you said, but they also love my competitions and stuff. Like, they make it to everyone that they can and are big time supporters of that too. They just support me in general with everything I'm doing. Like, it's not like they only care about my school or CrossFit, but they definitely are happy that I'm doing both.
And when you're, you've had what, like 3 different jobs then in this like sector?
Okay.
And of those jobs, are people like, has anybody come up to you at any of those jobs and be like, are you the same Jack Farrow that, you know, like say like in September or whatever?
No. Honestly, no one cares. In fact, it's embarrassing when I had to ask my like supervisor lady if I could take the afternoon off to do like the quarterfinals on Friday. And it was tough to tell her that I'd need to go to the gym to film a workout, and
I love, if you explain it that poorly, she's probably like, right, so he's like some kind of bodybuilder and just hasn't put up an Instagram post in a while, or
at school, like at first it was kind of like that, but I think like I just have a couple of friends in my class, and like, kind of hard to explain the whole CrossFit thing, but they would, I think they like watch some of the games, so you know, that's I think they were like kind of like awoken to like how big of a deal it kind of is, and so now I have a little bit of cred at school, but
so one of your major strengths, if there was like, and there should be, wads on me if you're watching, there should be a Jack Farlow card. But if there was a card, would it say on it, it would probably say on it like, your main strength is your strength, like that you're freakishly strong. Has that always been the case? Were you always like that, or is that like, did you train loads of lifting when you were like 15 or something has just stood to you, or like is that natural, innate, like DNA or what?
I think I've always liked lifting, like that's what I prefer to train, although that's not even necessarily true anymore, but growing up it definitely was. But no, like when I was like a kid relative to the other kids, that were like competing, not the ones at my gym, I was, I think, like strong-ish, but at first I had a really good engine. Like that was my thing. And then slowly that moved in towards like the exact opposite, where I just kind of got super strong and it was the cardio stuff that was like not great. And I'm not really sure how that happened, to be honest. I think just like lifting all through those teenage years, that's what kind of like allowed me to get super strong. And I'd rather have it my way than the other way where I'm trying to build strength, because I feel like that takes a lot longer.
Yeah. You became a man, basically. Your body changed and grew, and like exactly. it exhibited itself in strength. I was reading, I can't remember the name of the website, but there's a little piece that like you wrote or whatever, or it's about you, and I don't know, I assume you helped, and you were talking about balancing school and that you're doing engineering and stuff. I assume it was a couple of years ago. And I was reading another piece, and it said the other piece referenced that you and Emma were at the same gym. Is that how you guys met?
Not entirely. So there's this gym, CrossFit PSC, and that's here in town, which is where I go to school. And I grew up about an hour away from here.
Okay.
And so it just so happens that like this school, University of Waterloo, is like the as good as it gets for engineering in Canada, and like 10 minutes away is this gym that like I would say is probably the most competitive gym in Canada. Just in terms of like who's there, like a lot of good competitors, and also like the resources at the gym, like it's stocked. Like we have like long rings, short rings, all the different types of bars, handstand ramps, all that kind of stuff, which like I don't know if how many other gyms in Canada have that kind of stuff. So it just so happens that it's kind of perfect in that regard. Oh, I didn't answer the question, but I knew Emma went here, but we actually did a couple like competition together before I even moved. And then when I moved, that's when like we started like training together, and that's when I started with Josh, our coach, and stuff. So,
yeah. Okay, so Josh works at PSE or owns PSE? Works there?
Neither. He did coach. Oh. Here he lives like half an hour away, but neither. He just coaches Emma.
Okay, and you. Have you put up something recently about Saltburn? Did you watch Saltburn and put something up, or what? Or is because nope, there's a lot of did Jack watch Saltburn with or without Emma around? And then there's about 15 other questions about it. No, you haven't put anything up. I haven't watched it, but I've read like some of the shit that happens in it, and I feel like that's the type of film that you watch in a dark room on your own where nobody can ever know that you watched it, because it just sounds incredibly fucked up.
I've never even heard of it, so maybe I should
you know Barry Keoghan, you know, the Irish actor, he's like in, what the fuck is he in? Oh, he's in a load of those weird, like Killing of a Sacred Deer, I think, and all those kind of weird films that everyone's like, this is amazing. And then you watch and you're like, oh yeah, it's great. I don't get it.
Right.
But you don't want to sound stupid. So you're like, yeah, it's a movie. Sure. He's in a lot of those. Oh my God, please, Jake, tell me that isn't true. I watched it with my nan. God, I hope that's not true. I won't tell you the scene that I heard. Apparently there's a pretty emotionally scarring scene in it. Yeah,
not my type of movie.
No, I don't think so. I also don't want to destroy your innocence by telling you. So your coach Josh, he's cool. You're very, you're, it's like So I spoke to Emma like for like 5 minutes at Wadapalooza. I spoke to Josh a good bit there, more so in Birmingham, and I spoke to you more so in Birmingham and a little bit in Wadapalooza, tier Wadapalooza. The three of you are incredibly alike, as in like your demeanor and your, is that like, have the three of you always been similar in that kind of way? Or and is it like, did you kind of gravitate towards each other because of that? Or have you noticed that you've become more, how would I describe it? Like kind of stoic or something, like kind of like quiet. And I would describe the three of you as like humble, quiet, you know, kind of not difficult, but like, you need to be drawn out a bit, not difficult to draw out, but you have to be drawn out. Like you, I feel like if I was somewhere, you wouldn't come over to me and start talking to me. I'd say you'd wait for like someone to come over and talk to you. And I think Josh is the same. And I think Emma is the same. Is that like, did the three of you like attract each other because of that quality, or have the three of you just like grown into that quality?
Yeah. I've never thought about that, but that's actually, that's very true. I don't think any of us would, kind of pursue conversation with many people, but no, I think probably that's like part of the reason that we get along so well. I've never thought about that, but we are very similar in that regard for sure. And like, I don't know, I think me and Josh especially think very similarly just in terms of like our thought process for things. So but yeah, no, I don't know what to tell you. I think that's probably why, yeah, we get along so well, but it definitely isn't something that we like talked about or tried to be that way.
It's just interesting. It's rare that you see, like, usually opposites tend to attract, or like, you know, similar traits, but then very varied traits. But like, I feel like the three of you, if each of you had a color for your personality, I feel like it would be the same color. I don't know what color that is, but I just feel like you're very alike. Having spoken again, like kind of briefly, like maybe Emma's a fucking lunatic and I just don't know it because I've only talked to her for like 5 minutes. Speaking of Emma then, so like she's obviously had a breakout maybe 24 months or maybe a little bit longer, 36 months. And then you were at the games this year, you were at Rogue last year, you were at the games this year. And you had, you know, your rookie year there. You were there obviously as a teenager before that. When it's like, say, Emma and Jack, and when she's like on the podium and excelling to the level that she is it difficult for you to, I guess, like focus on what you're supposed to be doing and to like, you know, like I saw a clip, I think it's from, it might be from last week or this week's behind the scenes, where she's in her leader's jersey and you're like in like enthusiastic about it and giving her a hug and whatever and excited for her and stuff. But like, then you have to go and do a job and like, you have to like recenter yourself and go and do that. Is that like, has that been a steep learning curve to be like, all right, Emma's doing her thing and I'm doing my thing and we're both like have to just focus on ourselves and like, apart from those little brief moments, can't let it like kind of distract you too much?
Yeah. I think like before every competition, we always like say to each other, like, whatever, like do not feel at all the need to like console each other, like whatever happens. But I feel like we end up always doing it a little bit, but not in a way that we're taking away. Like we make ourselves our priority for sure. But like, I don't know. I don't think we draw from each other too much in that regard. And I think, yeah. So I would say we don't like keep away from each other or anything, but we definitely stay focused on ourselves, but then we don't like avoid all interaction as well. So it's kind of like a middle ground, but honestly, like going back to the first part of your question, seeing her success early when I wasn't having much really, like I mean it's all relative I guess, but that kind of that just made me see like that it is possible to be really good. Like, it's, I saw her train every day that year that she like goes to the games and comes fifth or sixth or whatever she got in the first year. Like, I see all the stuff she's doing and I'm doing similar stuff. It kind of just makes you feel like it's possible to get there. And honestly, if I didn't move here and like kind of start training with her, there's no chance that I would have even like really pursued being like a CrossFit athlete, just because I didn't think it was like possible. Like, I thought if I was ever going to be good enough that I would already have been this good at like 19. And so yeah, she kind of just makes me see that it is possible to get super good. And she's been training hard for like longer than I have, so I feel like I'm kind of just catching up now in terms of like the time put in and like building that base of strength and endurance, obviously. So I don't know, I think we do a good job not taking away from each other's competition, but we celebrate wins together for sure.
So you were in the teenage division. Like 2019. Yeah, and the year before, right? 17, 18? No,
just 19.
Okay, and where did you finish?
6th of 10.
Okay. So not like glittering, like impressive. No. But not like Dallin Pepper fucking 10 years in a row or whatever he did. Like, it wasn't
like Dallin beat me in every event.
I think everybody could say that, though, in the teenage division.
Well, usually you try to get one win on people, but no, he was better than me at everything for sure. And then Sprague and Tudor Meg, they were both also in that year of teens. So I think Sprague came fifth and Tudor was third. So we had a pretty good class there, but came last in the event. I was mid pack for a lot of them. I was definitely six is where I belonged.
Great to see Roman Krennikov in the comments. It's not him. It's definitely not him. He wouldn't come here. It's interesting though, because Dallin was like dominant. He won like whatever 4 years, like everything he could have won, he won basically in that period of time, including like when he aged up and was the younger in the group, which is like, you know, more impressive. But I feel like you and James have had, like, I guess more so you, like James has had an impressive transformation in that he, James has had an impressive transformation in that he doesn't look like your, and neither do you really, but he doesn't look like your classic CrossFit athlete, like kind of like taller, and like it's more difficult for him than it is for like, say, the perfect archetypal like CrossFit male athlete or whatever, and for you. But to see how much Dallin struggled to get into the men's field, and to see how much he struggled to break through and to be consistent, and I know he said before that like the biggest shock he got was the weights, where he was like, shit, okay, like everyone's really strong. It's not just like fitness or whatever. When you saw him struggle as much as he did to get in, was that like off-putting? Were you like, geez, this guy is so dominant and he's struggling to get in? Or were you even aware of what other people were doing?
But he struggled at like 18, 19, like to try to crack in. Like, I think he made the games at 20 probably.
Yeah.
Or even, yeah. So like, yeah, I don't know. So that was a couple of years ago. At that point, I wasn't even convinced, like coming out of the teenage division, I wasn't like, okay, now it's individual time. I feel like I was like not really, like that was the time that I wasn't like going for it. I probably didn't start going for like individual until like 2 years after the teenage division.
And like, was that because like you had other priorities? Did you lose interest in it? Were you still doing it? Like, what was the gap of
it? It kind of just seemed like nothing was nothing to work for, because the individual was so far away and I'm no longer a teenager. I don't know. Those are my last couple years of high school. Like, and don't get me wrong, I was still probably throughout those years doing double sessions. Like, it's not like I quit CrossFit or like I was training very hard, but in my head, I wasn't like, oh, this is so I can make the games. It was kind of just because I really liked training and, you know, competing with the guys at my gym at that point and stuff like that. So, and I was getting good and significantly better. But in my head, I was never like, oh, the next step is individual, until probably two years later.
And that, so you mentioned earlier on that, like, when you moved and started training with Emma, you saw that it was possible. Is that the change then of like, okay, yeah, let's go for it? Was that the catalyst? Okay. Yeah. And what was it that you saw? Was it just the fact that she could do it and that she had come through in a similar way, as in she did the teenage divisions and stuff? Is that like, is it just that you saw someone else do it and realized it was it could be applicable to you? Or was it that you were training with her and realized how much fitter you were getting, basically?
I think it wasn't even entirely her. Like, I remember, at that point, so I'm like 19 there, any gym I go to, I'm going to be like one of the better, if not the best people in the gym. Like, I was very, very good. It just so happened that this gym I go to has a lot of people that are very good. So what I remember specifically is the first open I did there, that was the year with the double unders and wall walks was the first workout. And then the second workout was the dumbbell snatches and burpee box jump overs, which, like, they just both lit me up, both those workouts. And not only Emma, but other people at the gym were like coming top 20, 30 worldwide in those workouts. And I was like, wow, I literally just need to get as good as these people around me. Like, that's good enough. Like, I don't need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I witnessed the best top 10 score in the world, and those workouts happened right in front of me. And they didn't look like something I could never do. It's like these people around me. So I think that opened specifically. And I was super bummed, because I think I came like 4,000th in both those workouts. And these people around me are coming top 50. They're on the first page and stuff. And I think that was kind of like the, wow, like, I just kind of got to put my head down and just get as good as these people. And then I'm there.
Who else goes there or went there? Because it sounds familiar. The name of the gym sounds familiar. Was there a team there last year or something?
Yeah, we had a team go to the games last year. And so the two owners of our gym who were on that team are very good themselves. And especially Nick's like the husband there, the owner, and he has like certain skill sets that are like very, very good. And then he struggles a little bit with strength. Whereas Kate, his wife, is all around really solid. So Nick especially can have like home run performances. He came like 12th in the open a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't recognize any of them by looking at them. But I think I recognize the name from like the leaderboard or whatever at the games.
Yeah.
Does Josh, when Josh coaches you, does he coach you guys in person there, say like in the lead up to the games, or is it all remote, or do you go to him, or how does that work?
So I'd say like, say a regular week. So last year during the games, like I had school during the summer. So I would do all my training Monday to Friday alone or at the gym, no Josh. And usually on the weekends is when we would have our time to like kind of do some more specialty type training. Like we'd go to the hill or the pool or something like that. And then back to the gym after. So on weekends is usually the time that he comes and spends time with us in person.
I feel kind of bad now that I was just like looking at that on my phone. So I'll just bring it up so everyone can see it. Is this the owner here?
On the far right, the owner? No, far right.
Okay. Okay, so second fittest Emma, 27th fittest you, and 24th fittest team. Like, it's not a bad record for one affiliate. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and like, it's not like, like, it's just a regular, like, I'm assuming gym, just like the rest of them, and it just so happens that we have a lot of talent there.
Yeah, it's cool. And then, so Josh is, this is where I need like a producer, basically. So this is Josh here, right? This is Mammoth. This is his.
Yeah.
And he's launched, I saw he launched, or is launching, shit, what's it called? The Herd, Mammoth Herd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for, it's like an hour a day type training. Is that right? There he is.
Yeah. And that's cool because for that he's collaborating with my brother-in-law, actually, who's I don't know if that detail is like out there, but
he is now.
He's my first he never like coached me, but like when like going up through the teenage divisions, he would always take my coach's pass and stuff like that. So he never programmed for me, but I would say he was my coach kind of growing up.
Yeah.
And so he's been doing CrossFit forever, and has a ton of experience programming and coaching. So, and more on this side of things, like the GPP kind of things than producing elite athletes, I'd say. So, they're both working on that together.
Emma's back is nuts. It's crazy muscular. Okay, so it's Mammoth Herd, everyday athlete, Mammoth Herd competitor. So that's like not one-on-one, but it's like, it'd be a less individualized version of what you're doing, I'm guessing. Like a broad strokes version of what you guys are at.
Right now, the Herd's obviously coming. We have Mammoth Elite. I'm not really sure what Herd competitor is, though, to be honest with you. Maybe that's future plans
that Josh has. Yeah, I'd say it's like a broad version of what you guys do without the specifics or without the individualized stuff. And then Mammoth Herd Light, that sounds like it's for me. Perfect. Short on time, but still wanting to get the work done. Oh, not like me. 30 minutes. Wow. Okay, that's cool. And I was actually like very impressed with Josh. Josh works full time. Like he has a job, like a real job. But this is like his side hustle.
And he does all of this, like everything we're looking at now, he put together. And even like for those who are following like the elite program, me and Emma, he has like pace calculators and all sorts of stuff. So he does a good job for sure.
Do you feel pressure being like the poster boy for what he does, or like that you and Emma are like the advertisement for it?
No, I've never thought of it in a pressure way. It's cool. Okay. It's cool to see our faces all over it, but no, zero pressure.
Yeah, I hope I didn't start making you think of it as pressure. He's a cool guy though. He's got like one kid, is it? A young kid?
Yeah.
Because I was talking to him, we were kind of, you know, he was like, oh, are you gonna go full-time at doing this? And I was like, Jesus, no. Like, it's not, there's no like, it's very hard to turn down a pension and all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of realized then he wasn't full-time, that he was, that it was his side hustle as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, man, like surely you're in a position now that you can just jump in. And he said the same. He was like, I've got a pretty good pension. I've got like, you know, health cover. It's like all that stuff goes away if I leave my job. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's fair. It's hard. Like it's just hard to jump in, I guess, because you're leaving such a strong safety net.
For sure.
This is all stuff you'll have to worry about in the future, Jack. Do you think, is your plan to, when do you finish college? Like for good? Like when do you graduate?
I think like going into the summer of 2026.
Okay, wow. So not for a while. So you don't have to worry about it for a while. Do you think you'll use your degree? Like, is it a backup or do you think you'll use it?
I think I'll use it.
So you think you'll work and do this?
Well, maybe not use it immediately, but I think at some point in my life I will. I don't know. I see where things go, but I definitely would never like own a gym or something like that. I don't know what kind of opportunities will come from CrossFit, but or even combining CrossFit with my degree. Like I do think it'll be good that I have it.
Why do you think you'll never own a gym?
I have no interest in it.
Do you coach?
I did. I used to, but not anymore.
How come? Is it not your thing? Do you not enjoy it, or is it just
no? It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad actually. The reason I didn't want to really do it anymore was mostly just timing. Like when I was already kind of tight on time, and then like now I could be home at 7:30, but I actually now have to be done at 6:30 to coach the class, and you know that's like an hour that even if I could make time for, I'd rather just like get an extra hour of sleep or spend more time like doing schoolwork or stretching, stuff like that. And thankfully now I don't like need the money anymore to stay afloat. So I don't do that anymore.
Someone asked there about, I know you're sponsored by, Strike. They spelled it wrong. What's your favorite color? Jesus, spelled a lot wrong. What's your favorite colorway that Strike puts out?
I got all my shoes right here. Tough to say. I did have the all white ones, but I totally wrecked them at Wodapalooza. I like these ones a lot right now. This is I think it's called Flat Earth Collection. They're just classic gray. I was gonna break these ones out at Wodapalooza, but I the weather wasn't really permitting. So.
So you went with white.
Yeah. Well. I was okay sacrificing the whites.
Yeah, so. That's the only pair I have. The blue, the blue. They were very expensive to get. So I had to pay like income tax. This isn't a Strike issue. This is a me issue. Customs. So they're like $140 or something, but I had to pay like $50. Customs to get them to Ireland, and I had to pay like $50 shipping, so it was like $250. But they were actually really good, because I messaged them and I was like, is there something I can do to circumvent this cost that is being put on me? And they sent me a code to use to, it was like 30% off or something, and it would have counteracted the extra bits. But I almost ordered them, and I thought I ordered them, and then about 2 weeks later I was like, where the fuck are those shoes? I was like, Striker shit, like they never arrived. And then I realized I never actually ordered them, that I never actually clicked like purchase. And then when I went back to buy them, the code had expired, and I was like, it's too embarrassing to go back to them and say, I never actually bought those shoes, gonna have that code again. I like them for like, I mean, we've talked about it. I like them for walking around in, but I don't like them for. I'd probably just have fucked up feet, to be honest.
They also just came out with these ones, and these are called the Transit Trainer or something like that. Transit something. And they're kind of like more of a casual shoe, but those are actually my current favorites. But yeah, I don't know. I think different shoes for different people, but.
Yeah. I think some people like those zero drop things. And that, you know, like that, it's just like totally flat, like your flat earthers. But no, I can't. I don't know. My feet just cramp like a motherfucker, and I just need to like get them off. But that's not against Strike. That's more so against my feet, I'd say, than anything else. How long have you been with them? Like sponsored by them, or
Right before last year's game.
And did you, like, after you qualified, so after you finished like 10th at semifinals, is that right? I think. Did like doors start opening? Like, was there like a clamor of people like approaching you, or was it like, has it been like, how am I gonna deal with all these brands that are coming to me? Or was it a case of like, I think I got an email like after a few months?
Yeah, I don't think it's as glamorous as people think. It definitely opens doors, like, make the games, and then like my like lift at the games for sure, and hopefully now like my Wodapalooza performance, all things like that. But it's not like I'm like just being bombarded with offers or anything. Yeah,
your mailbox is full. Have you got an agent?
I do, yeah. Bijan from Ripple Sports.
Oh yeah, okay. He's like based in Miami, isn't he?
Yeah, so that was, yeah, okay. He was a lot of help for Wodapalooza for sure, just like his backyard.
Yeah, that's cool. You mentioned your lift at the games there. And it's funny, I remember at the time when you said it, I remember like having an enormous amount of like, not pity, pity is the wrong word, like empathy for you. And then when I was editing the video afterwards, I was like, is he joking or is he being serious? And I started doubting like which it was. But when we were at FitFest, I said like, oh, what's it like being here and being famous? And you basically said like, no one gave a shit before I lifted that bar, like that one bar. Is that like a genuine feeling that you have, or were you being funny?
Oh, in terms of CrossFit fans, it's absolutely true. I never felt like I didn't have value or wasn't loved or anything. It just like at the games, I think I got one picture taken with me before the lift and probably 200 after. So like it was night and day. Like even coming back from events when you'd walk through the beer garden, you know, I remember like Chandler was in my heat and like, you know, he's stopping every single person and I could just walk right through. And that was different after the lift. So very clearly that is true what I said.
It's obviously still new to you, I guess, that sort of feeling. But like once people started stopping you, was there a part of you that was like, oh, I kind of want to go back. I kind of want to go back the other way. Or I could just like,
no, because I'm not at that level even yet that like, you know, if I walk from A to B, I'm best case, or I mean maybe worst case depending on the way you look at it, but like four or five people will stop me and it adds a minute and a half to the trip versus like Emma, and like even more than Emma can get like to the point where you will not get there if you start taking pictures. So yeah, for me it's like it's still super fun and new, and so no, I've never had that thought.
Did you like, were you confident when you lifted that bar, were you like, yeah, no problem,
before I lifted it?
Yeah,
I wasn't doubting myself, that's for sure. I did 1 pound more than that for a clean and jerk, like a week and a half, 2 weeks before the game. So, like, I knew I had it in me.
It's nuts. Does the scenario change it? Does the venue, the crowd, does all that stuff? Like, had you prepared yourself for that side of it? Like, for the fact that like it's going to be fucking loud. There's got like the clock, the pressure. The person will have just lifted. They might miss. Someone might move in front of you. Like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think just like the X's and O's of the workout, that you had only two attempts in a 20-second window. Honestly, like the fan cheering side of it probably didn't affect any way I approached it. But the other thing about this was that I was guaranteed to get cut after this event, and I had nothing to lose. So I could just go for it, and who cares if I miss my second attempt and end up coming fifth in the event? Like, I may as well go for some big lifts. And I really wanted the win before this event. So I just did exactly what I had to do. Some people gave me heat for not putting on 400. 400 never even crossed my mind. It was purely just that I had 396 on and I saw Bron beside me. He had a 10-pound lead on me from the snatches. So I think he had 385 on his bar. He loaded it before I lifted. So I just put on 11 pounds more than him.
It's crazy to me that you move your feet the way that you do, like that you adjust so many times. So like, I don't know a lot about weightlifting. First of all, the fact that you're wearing shoes that I was giving out about being too flat lifting this is pissing me off a little bit. But like here, you adjust both your feet, this one especially, and then in the jerk, this one like wobbles to one side, and like I would have fucking broke my ankle.
Well, definitely on the clean, that wasn't a textbook for me. Like I almost had to bail that in front of me. I've actually never looked that closely, but this is definitely
this guy loves it. This guy in the orange. When you make that he's clean, he's like, marry me. Look at this guy.
There's the famous picture of, I don't know her last name, but Christine, who writes Dave Cash.
Oh, yeah. Christine Bald. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Did you enjoy it as opposed to, or as, in comparison to being there as a teenager? Like, is it like, was it a world apart from what you experienced?
The teenagers, the only people in the crowd are your parents and grandparents, basically. So like that was fun because you go and you get all the gear and stuff, but it wasn't, there was no external like eyes on you or pressure in that sense. I was honestly, if I didn't have that lift, I mean, alpaca was a good moment too for me, but if I didn't have that lift, I probably wouldn't be looking back on the games so fondly, because the first day was basically a disaster for me. But
that was the bike.
Yeah, the bike, and the pig chipper, and then the gymnastics skill workout. So,
but you liked alpaca too.
Yeah, second overall on that one. So
it's cool.
Not bad.
There's an Irish flag. Look, that was meant to be. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Irish flag up there in the corner. It's great. It's crazy. Have you been watching the behind the scenes or anything, or you're gonna wait for it to come out to Gen Pop?
Are you asking if I paid for it or not?
Yeah, basically. Well, you don't have to have paid for it. Someone might have sent you a link, but I'm just curious if you've watched any of it.
No, I haven't watched any, but if someone wants to give it to me, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, I'm not sacrificing my in for the links by sharing them with anyone. It's crazy though, like I'm sure it's going to hit you like in a vastly different way than it's hitting me, but even I'm watching it and I'm like, you get kind of emotional at reliving the experiences, and I'm reliving them from the outside, having experienced them from the outside. So like I'm assuming for people like you, for the athletes, there'll be those moments where it's like, god, I forgot about that, like, or geez, I like hadn't process that feeling properly, or I hadn't thought about that experience since it happened. Because I'm assuming during the week or the 4 or 5 days or whatever, it's so intensely compact that like you can't really dwell. Like, you know, you say that the pig chipper and the bike were frustrating, but like you can't dwell on them because you've got another day coming. And then even if something goes well, like alpaca, you can't dwell on that too long either because you've got another one then coming up afterwards. So like,
yeah.
After when the games were over, did you allow yourself time to kind of sit with what had happened? Do you need that? Like, are you good to just be like, all right, that's over, like, well, like Fit Fest coming up in a few months, let's get ready for that, or you know, like fucking Wallapalooza or whatever?
I think like what happened at the games, my performance definitely defined how we were going to like train for this year. If I came 20th or like, I don't know, like 18th, maybe, I probably wouldn't be as good as I am right now or will be coming up, because so night and day that like I needed to get better at certain things, and I was really good at some things. And and my training right now reflects that big time. Versus had I come like 18th or 20th, they probably would have been like, oh, well, you just need to get better. And different, I think with different programming, I could have come 20th probably, like if it was like perfect programming for me. And then now all of a sudden I think I don't have huge holes and stuff. So it was good in that regard. But I don't know, mentally I wasn't like, I didn't need like a huge break or anything. Probably just physically and yeah, so we took a couple weeks or whatever.
And when you're at the games, is Josh shared between the two of you, or do you have a different kind of caddy, or how does it work?
Yeah, like he's definitely still both of our coaches, and we talk strategy and whatnot for every workout. But my brother-in-law, who I was talking about, he'll still take my coach's pass, and yeah, he's more of the and he'll do stuff for Emma too. But yeah, he's kind of there for all my warm-up stuff and like. Yeah, caddy carrying the bags around and stuff.
That's cool. So he's married to, is he married to the sister that was in?
No,
NorCal, a different one.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do all your siblings do CrossFit?
No, none of them go to a CrossFit gym. So.
Okay.
They're all still, not all of them, many of them still work out and work out every day, but they're not really doing like thrusters and burpees. But it was cool last summer, that sister who we're talking about, not the NorCal one, did every single track workout with me leading up to the games, and she loved it. And so this summer we already have plans now to bring in my NorCal sister. They all live close to me now. She no longer lives out there, but we're gonna bring back the track session.
And is that, do you refer to her as the NorCal sister? Are you like, hey, NorCal?
Never once before this.
Yeah. Here, just because of the sheer specific randomness of the fact, Jack's hometown of Kitchener, Waterloo, is where Blackberry was. Most of the engineers were from University of Waterloo. Got to be smart to get into University of Waterloo. There you go. I wasn't expecting to read that. Blackberry, that's like the phone, isn't it?
They're no longer, yeah. But well, Blackberry still exists, but they don't make phones.
Oh, what do they make?
I actually had a job interview with them. I didn't get it, but that was for some device, like hardware that you put into like transport trucks to track temperature, their speed, all this stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
But no smartphones anymore.
They've come a long way from that instant messaging. Remember BlackBerry messaging or whatever. When you go into your next job interview, just show them the lift. Just have it like preloaded on your phone.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm looking for, like, this summer I have a co-op term. And like right now, I'm really looking for a job that I could see myself doing in the future, like something related to sports in some regard. And so I gotta find a way to kind of to use my 30,000 Instagram followers to get me a sweet job, but as of now CrossFit has done zero for helping me get a job. It's on my resume, but I think it gets overlooked.
Yeah, I wonder if you could like crowbar it in. So like if you're at an interview and you say like, well, yeah, I mean, obviously the prosthetics, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if you've seen like the CrossFit Games, like they had an adaptive division last year. And it's like, oh, did I mention I was at the CrossFit Games? just be like, I actually have this video. If you just avert your eyes over to the screen here, and just like play, a pull down projector. I just be like, yeah. I just want to show you. Oh, sorry. This is just me lifting like 400 pounds. I don't know how that got in there. It's this guy with one leg that I wanted to show you. Just the mechanics of his knee.
Right. Yeah, we're just on the wrong slide. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oops. Oh, God, how did I do that? Yeah, you're right. That is me lifting a like ridiculous weight. Yeah, God, surely Rogue needs a biomechanical division. Surely. Dear Bill and Katie.
Biomedical.
Yeah, whatever. Look, if Rogue call, just take whatever they fucking give you, Jack. Don't start correcting anyone. Just be like, yep, no problem.
Absolutely, if they call up.
So the plan for this year then, so you had Wadapalooza, incredible work at Wadapalooza, by the way. That was fantastic. Thanks. It was really, really impressive. It was like a very a very mature performance, like very, because like so much shit changed last minute. The Everton, like, was, there was so much stuff that was out of your hands. It was like true, like unknown, unknowable stuff. And you responded so well to everything. You reacted so well. You gave such a good showing of yourself. Workouts that I think maybe historically, people like me anyway, maybe you disagree, but people like me wouldn't have said, oh, Jack will do very well in that workout. And you did really well. You did remarkably well in the swimming one, and like you just held your own across the board. It was just like very consistent. So congratulations on that. The team, again, like you guys surprised a lot of people, maybe incorrectly, because you're three very good athletes. I guess a lot of people maybe don't know Ben. Isn't that his first name? Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think of him as the baker. His surname is like Baker in French, isn't it? Is it? Boulanger or something like that?
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe a lot of people might not know him, but he's like basically Adler's training partner when he has one. And yeah, the three of you guys are like ridiculously good. How annoying is James Bray to be on a team with?
No, he's all right. I'm glad that he did individual too first, because I feel like it brought down his enthusiasm for teams to match mine a little bit.
That's the thing. When I think of what I was describing you, Emma, and Josh, the polar opposite of that is James Brick. It's like he's whatever color you are, if you're like yellow, he's red, you know, like totally different. Because he's like, I love James and I love spending time with him, but he's just super enthusiastic and like super upbeat, happy, and like doesn't hide it. He's like, hey guys, isn't this brilliant? You know, like if you're not in a, especially after competing as an individual for 2 days, getting a bit of a beat down and then going on team, and the first thing you do having to be a run, you're probably like, I'm not too enthusiastic about this. And he's like, hey, this is brilliant, guys.
So on the first day of teams, obviously we had both just done individual, and I Ubered there, but I picked him up on the way. And in the group chat for like all the athletes, they had given us an address for the run. And then 10 minutes later, they said something along the lines of like, make sure you go to the first exit. A lot of people are going to the second exit, which is where this address takes you. So, I mean, I had to still put an address in the Uber. So I just put that one in. I didn't really think about it. And the guy drops us off. And I was like, oh, and nothing was in sight when he dropped us off. So we all got out and figured like this, the real location, like maybe we're walking 5 minutes. Like, so we started walking. I'm in flip flops. It was me, James, the guy who had his coach's pass, and then his brother as well. And we start walking, 5 minutes turns into 10, 15, and then probably 20 minutes of walking, and we finally see this Wadapalooza flag. So we know we're going down the right road. We found the first exit, and we've started to go down. But we continue to walk. We probably walked for close to 30, 25 minutes, and we're getting tight on time at this point. So me and James put on our shoes and give our bags to his brother, and we start a run, and we run for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and we probably ran for 20 minutes, and this road just keeps going. And so at this point, we're supposed to start in probably 20. Ben is probably freaking out that we haven't arrived yet. And so I yell up to James, he was running a bit ahead of me as he does, that we got to try to get one of these cars to stop because we will not make it. So cars start coming by, and James puts his finger out to say go down the road. And I'll never forget the image of these two cars coming by. The first one just keeps going, and the second one's this like black van, like a minivan, and it keeps going for like 5 seconds and then pulls off. And I yelled up at James, it's stopping, it's stopping. And you want to know who picked us up and drove us the rest of the way in? It was Roman and Rosa. Yeah. So they picked us up, and they saved us another 25 minutes of running, probably. Like,
and he's still crazy. In the comments.
Yep. So thank you, Roman. And yeah.
That's crazy. Bit ostentatious having a big black van for two people, but whatever. I'm not here to judge. So you ran like 10K. Ben must have been freaking out. Like, was he? Because I'm assuming if you were like walking and then running, you weren't like stopping to text and be like, "On our way," or like, "Drop a pin, please."
Yeah, we had a couple missed calls upon arrival. Thankfully, he wasn't too crazy. Like, he could have easily been angry at us for that, but no, he was all right.
Yeah, that's stressful though. The rest of the weekend, so was it difficult to pick yourself up for the team competition? Was it difficult to even just like bring the same energy that you had brought to the individual side, like to kind of just go again and start again?
Yeah, I'd say that reflected in my warm-ups, like before, like for individual, like I was making sure I was feeling good going out there. And like even like the walk after you've already been corralled, I'm doing things to make sure I'm staying loose and stuff like that. And for the teams, I kind of, you know, did a like couple arm swings and talk strategy and
just did like a little.
Yeah, I'm exactly. Good. Stretch out the obliques a bit. And yeah. But I still tried as hard as I could. And honestly, I think I gave like a really solid showing in every workout except the handstand pushup one. So yeah,
that was the one with the flood, basically the like slip and slide wall walks.
My shoulders were just locked up from the dips and I didn't care to loosen them up and warm up, so I wasn't much help on our handstand pushups.
And James, Ben hadn't competed as an individual, sure you hadn't?
No, Ben didn't. Yeah,
okay, so fuck him, let him do it. It's
fine. Yeah, and he carried us on that part of that workout for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. That's his duty is to do that
for sure.
So coming off the back of that, then confidence is high, I'm assuming, like you're feeling good, you're those holes that you mentioned in July or August or whatever seem to be closing up and they're getting less obvious, if nothing else, or like, you know, they're getting smaller. So heading into the season now, you've got just breeze through the Open, I guess, breeze through quarterfinals, full focus on semifinals after that, and then hopefully Madison again, I'm guessing, or Texas, that's the plan, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, quarter or semis is no joke to get to now because we have less spots than before. So, like, I should be very safe, but you can't totally overlook that. But yeah, training is definitely, like, has semis as the next, like, big checkpoint.
And do you... would you have any interest in like winning the Open or anything, or like aiming for something like that? No.
I think I'd only even think about that if like 2 weeks in I was top three and like,
yeah,
the last workout was like good for me. It'd be a very cool thing to do, but no, I will guaranteed not redo a workout this year unless it's the final week and I could win the Open. That would be the only reason to do it.
What did you get in the thruster last year? Did you do like a silly weight?
Yeah, 315, which is pretty good.
Wow.
I think only one person beat me or tied me in both A and B in that.
I'm assuming and the B my is A score. Tola.
Maybe, I'm not sure. Tyler Christoffel, I know, same thruster as me and beat me in the run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you're still, are you and Emma still training to get together and then like going to Josh coming to you, that sort of thing? That's the plan for the next, whatever, 6 months?
Yeah, although we like, I don't know what the last workout we did together was. Like our training is completely separate in terms of programming just because we have such different needs, basically.
But you just do you train together as in the same room though? No.
Oh, when we can, but now it's more difficult because of I'm back to school and stuff. So
is she in school or no?
No.
She's a lady of leisure.
So, yeah, so she can have a nice schedule for sure.
Yeah. She's gonna rely on your biomedical engineering money to prop her up in her CrossFit career.
Well, she can prop me up big time right now, so
That's fair. Is it hard to get away from CrossFit? Like, so say for the two of you, if you're like, oh, let's go to fucking movies or something, and to just not think about like CrossFit or talk about CrossFit, or because if a lot of the time that you spend together is training or going to competitions or at competitions or with your coach or whatever, is it difficult to like, do you force yourselves or find time for yourselves to be just like, not that you are a child, but like to be kids, like as in to be like, oh, let's just go for a weekend somewhere, or let's just go to this nightclub or this whatever?
I don't think we ever make like the conscious like no CrossFit talk or something, like anything like that.
Yeah.
Like it is tough. Even when you're not thinking about CrossFit, you're thinking about CrossFit. Like when we go out for dinner or something, you can't just totally pig out because we're training tomorrow morning. Like, and not that you have to pig out, but I would like to from time to time. So yeah, just things like that. But I don't think it's anything that we struggle with or make a conscious decision to fix.
Yeah. Does anyone advise you on that kind of stuff? Like on about, cause you know, like this, there's a lot of talk about like burnout and stuff and about like people putting too much pressure on themselves or pressure being put on people and then they end up running aground and stuff. Like have like your parents, her agent, your agent, like your coach, has anyone been like, oh, you need to do this or you need to like take a break this time and that kind of stuff, or is it just like nothing?
I don't think I like, not that Emma struggles with that, but she probably does more than me. Like for me, like it'll be like once every couple months I'll have like a second session that I'm like just like, oh, I like I'm over this, and like that's very far from burnout, I would say. Just because I have so many other things to think about, and like, if I didn't really want to go to the gym every day, I would have every reason not to. Like, I got plenty going on with school and stuff. So, I think when it becomes like your job, and like you have to do it because if you're not, what else are you doing? I think that makes it more difficult. I'd say I'm not too involved in those conversations. I maybe give some support when needed, but I'd say that's mostly Josh and Emma.
Yeah. So there's, I don't know if you know about this on YouTube, Jack, but there's like a membership thing. So yeah. There's better pages to be a member of, because if you're a member of Savannah's page, you get access to the behind the scenes, but we'll just pretend that that doesn't exist and we'll just talk about my membership for a minute. So I'm not gonna read out that name. Fuck it, I will. So Seema Boobs said, oh Sarah, you subscribed. And Sarah said, Cave bought me a membership. And then they said, she said, oh, what does that get you? The honest answer to that, Seema, is fuck all. But it supports my endeavors. It gets you, I can't actually show them on screen. Because it just comes up as like nothing, but I did make like little emojis and stuff for people to use. So Sarah is correct in saying that it does just get you a fancy emoji. It also, so if there's ever any apparel or anything launching, members will get early access to that. And I might even try and sort out some kind of discount code if it doesn't break me altogether. But basically look there, he's after put like, I can't see any of them. They just come up as dots. So that's like, CPW is like a logo. Savan is a picture of Savan. Run John is a picture of John Young photoshopped onto Roman Krennikov's son running in a park. I don't know what wrinkle is. That's me actually, I think, with a really wrinkly face. And then Tater Self, Don Fall, like, yeah, they're all just like emojis basically. But yeah, what it does is it gets you fuck all, but it supports what I'm doing, and it might make me say like, oh, hey, I can buy that lens I need to get or want to get. I don't really need to get it. Can you see the comments? Can you see the chat?
No, I'm not looking at it.
Okay. Do look at it for a second, because I need you to pick someone. So someone, I literally just remembered this. I forgot this every time, I suppose, to do it. So just like have a little scroll up and down, and you're going to pick one person that has commented to win a year's membership of GoWatt. So you can just land on...
At random?
Yeah. Okay. If there's a comment that stands out to you, or a name or a picture or something that stands out to you, just pick them, whoever you want.
Okay. Oh, look, Sarah Cooper's trying to play the Canada card. I will go... Can I go Roman? I'll go Roman.
Okay. So Roman...
It's a nice comment from him, so...
Yeah, the real Roman is a GoAt athlete. So this will test if this is the real Roman or not. Because if he's not, he'll say, "Oh yeah, sorry, can I actually get that membership, please?" The milk thing, is that just because you're pale and big?
And strong? I think it just suits me because of that. But it actually started when CrossFit did one of my lifting videos, and I got some steroid comments, and Josh and another friend of mine at the gym just started replying to them saying that I'm just strong because I drink a lot of like whole milk or something. And then I think the Buttery Bros asked if I had a nickname, and no one would ever call me that, but it was kind of a joke that was going around. So I told them about the Milkman, and it's taken off a little bit since.
Yeah. The Milkman. It's cool. I like it. Roman, I will send you a link. I love that he's now... So initially, if I go back up to one of his earlier comments, just normal, like, did Jason follow you back on IG? Just normal, like, normal chat. I would not be surprised. Totally normal. Now it's broken English all of a sudden. Now it's, I will send you link. So now he's dropping the app. He's like change the way he speaks. He's doing like a Daniel Cooch. He's like changing the way he speaks to fit the profile that he's created for himself. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Listen, thanks for coming on, Jack. It's been great to catch up with you. I've loved getting to know you a little bit over the last little while. Really enjoy spending time with you in Birmingham, and it was Rosa. So yeah, you're on a serious trajectory. Good luck with the season and everything else, and yeah, hopefully we'll catch up in Texas maybe. Roman, if you email, either DM me on Instagram or email coffeepodsandwads@gmail.com, and I'll give you the GoWatt membership, and if you don't want it, I'll give it to someone else. But just let me know in the next like 2 hours, because I'm not hanging around, because I've forgotten about that every fucking week for the last like 3 weeks. Jack, thank you very much. Really appreciate it, taking time out of your weekend. Good luck with your season, and same to Emma and Josh and everyone else.
Thank you very much. Yeah, see you around.
Thank you.